This is All Things Nerd Season 3, Episode 22. On tonight's cast, we have TV Upfronts, the game that is a fan favorite that we do once a year over here on the cast. Along with that, our nerd news topics, we are going to be TV Upfronts, the Wheel of Time TV series update. We're also going to talk about the Octo winners of the Scribbs Spelling Bee. And we're going to talk about Stan Lee's final project, Superhero Kindergarten. So with that, here's the intro.
It's Scripps Spelling Bee, isn't it? Not Scribbs?
It is Scripps, yeah.
Scripps, whatever. You know, you guys know I can't pronounce it.
Hooked on phonics. Yes, worked for West. Yes. No. You did not make it out of the first round of the Spelling Bee, sir.
I can't. If pronouncing the words properly is the way to win the Spelling Bee, I would not win. But with that, let's say this. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is the All Things Nerd Podcast, Season 3, Episode 22. I am your host, Mess5150. Thank you for coming back here live every Friday on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. Wherever you're listening, thank you for listening, whether it's Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or YouTube. Thank you. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving a review. Thank you for dropping a comment. We enjoy and appreciate everything that you guys do for us. This podcast is brought to you by the website malice-corp.com. And with that, let's talk about who the Malice casters are on this week's episode. As I said before, I am your host, Mess5150. Also joining me on the cast, we have a full cast this week, unlike last week where it was a rotating chair of how many people were going to be in the cast. First and foremost, you heard him giggling. Icy Zorro's here with us on the cast. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. I've had a real good day. Excited to talk about this stuff.
Nice. We also have joining us back after a long time for the first time again. Nudie Rudy's here on the cast. How are you?
Doing excellent. Glad to be here. Glad to be Chad.
And we have Superhuvian Net or Freak. You always get me mixed up on your Twitter. Yeah. Superhuvian Freak's here on the cast with us. Yeah. Hello.
Hello. It's been a good day. It's been a good week.
Good. And lastly, we have Masonic Vader here on the cast. How are you, sir?
Hola. I am doing good, sir. Let's get this rolling.
And as I said before, this cast is recorded live every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's West Coast time for you people, if you don't know. And it's on twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. In fact, joining us on the chat room right now, we have Polyfuse and we have Ruru2 in the chat room to talk all things nerd with us. So thank you guys for coming and joining us for the cast. So we like to start this show out with what we call getting your geek on. Getting your geek on is what we've been doing for the last week. The things that have been tickling our nerdy fancy, been filling our geek time, and what we think that you guys should be checking out, as well as you let us know in comments or on the chat room or on Twitter what things we should be checking out, what you've been geeking out on as well. I finished Flash, the 1990 version, and went straight into my full-on CW Arrowverse binge. Started Arrow last night. I'm halfway through the first season already. So
there's a thing that you're going to have to do, because there are so many crossover episodes that go between series. You're actually going to have to time it so that you're hitting similar points in all the series at the same time.
You mean rotating through them?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, IMDb has a really, they actually updated it yesterday, 12 hours before I looked at it. They are a weekly update of the watch list of how to watch it, everything.
Nice.
Did you find
it's a
out
good resource.
Did you find out on the Scribbs list?
No, Scripps. So, yeah.
What a dick.
So this is what happened. I tried to start binging Arrowverse before, and I got to the point where it said Constantine is part of the series, and at that time DC Universe wasn't out yet, so I had to like really dive in the internet to try and find Constantine to be able to watch it. But then it was part of DC Universe streaming service now, so then I binged it on there. So now I can just skip right over Constantine because I've watched the entire season, and that's nice. That will be my little speed up for the the binge, but I'm back on to Supernatural binging status where I, let's see, there's 20 something episodes in the first season of Arrow. And before this cast started, I started yesterday and I'm at episode 12 or 13 right now. So yeah,
nice.
You got a while to go.
Back on my normal rate. And then on the video game front, I have been trying to get some games off of my hard drive on my PlayStation so that I can download other games. So I started Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, which is part of Black Flag. It's a DLC. It's a separate, but it's kind of cool. It's part of Black Flag, so it's the same style of with the ships. You know, but
the Pirates one was one of my favorites.
Yeah. That's, but you're a, it's like all you're a former slave that's freeing other slaves. So
nice.
It's a fun little thing, but it's 7 gigs. So once I get it finished, I can knock that off. And I finished Uncharted Lost Legacy and got that off the hard drive. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Those are both series that I would play regardless of what the game is. I love Uncharted. I love Assassin's Creed.
Lost Legacy.
I've been very similar to you. I've been watching Arrowverse stuff. I've been catching up on all the latest seasons of Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends. The last season of Flash was really good. Good storyline, good acting, emotionally impactful. The last season of Legends, really fun, ended in kind of a sad, weird way that I'm not sure how I feel about. And the last season of Supergirl, so good. Like, I'm really happy I started watching that show again. They have a trans superhero, openly trans superhero, and it's fantastic. She's wonderful.
Awesome.
It's really cool to see that kind of progress being made on something as mainstream as a CW show.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't gotten... Well, I'll get there eventually.
Yes, you will. Wait for Dreamer. Dreamer is awesome.
I don't think I'll be able to... If I could do the entire Arrowverse in a month, I have no life. But like I do with Supernatural. But yeah. So that's a lot of watch time.
And then I've been reading a book called Sacred Cows by a guy named Seth Andrews, one of my favorite podcasters. And then playing World of Warcraft. I finally maxed out my first tune since getting back into it.
Nice. You did that pretty quickly too, so...
Yeah, according to the app, 8 days worth of playtime. So,
jeez, man,
that's a time on your hands, huh, buddy?
Super.
I had a lot of time on my
hands. Wait, so right now, if you could, I would totally, when you go to edit this, do that scene out of South Park. Play to win.
I got Turbo too much time on my hands.
Turbo Comics joins us in the chat room and says, unfortunately, the Arrowverse makes him shit blood.
I don't think you're consuming it correctly.
Yeah, you got to chew it fully. Don't let the hard edges.
20 full chews.
Okay. Super, what have you been geeking out on?
I just finished binge watching all 5 seasons of Schitt's Creek. So that show's really funny. If you have not watched it, it is just utterly incomplete. Some of the times the characters, the situations they put themselves in, it's and the way that they talk, it's just...
There's a reason it won our nerd fight for best streaming series of 2018. So
it was really funny.
Hey, Super, I don't know, but since you're done with that show, there's a show I'm going to recommend for you. I don't know if you heard about it. It's called Supernatural. You should check it out.
Been there.
How many times have you watched through that series so far?
I do feel like you would like that, yeah.
I wonder how many times you've watched through Supernatural. Can you count how many times you've actually watched through it, Super?
She knows episode numbers and titles and stuff. Yeah.
At least 20 for the seasons 1 through 11. Because I have it on in the background all the time when I'm cleaning, when I'm cooking.
You do what my wife does with Friends and Gilmore.
Exactly. And Friends, I've done it too. How I Met Your Mother. It's just, I'll put it on Netflix and I just cycle through. I'll fall asleep to it. So
The little thing will come up. Are you still watching this show?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's one of those little tippy liquid bird things like from Darkman where it's just like click yes every time.
And this is why we do this cast live, because we get some fun interaction in the chat room. They're talking about the Flash jumping the shark, the King Shark, is what Ruru 2 says, and Polyfuse says that did Flash do the Fonz, hey, with his thumbs up while jumping said sharks.
It's pretty close to that, yeah.
Masonic, what have you been geeking out on?
Oh man, well, Masonic has been geeking out in the third person by reliving some of his old days. So if you look over my right to, well, it looks like the left of me, but on the right shoulder, I got this nice cool flag of Cobra Commander, as my son and I are on what, disc 5 and 6, season 1 of G.I. Joe. You know, once again, showing him what real cartoons are about, not the Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, they're all about selling toys.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, yo, Joe. And then, and of course, I'm sporting my new shirt. Yes, thank you very much. Randy Watson Tour 88. I wish I could have been on that tour. I got to bring it up. Sorry, here. Let me move the camera down a little bit so you can see. Yes, sexual chocolate.
And Turbo Comics says you're a good dad, Masonic Vader, and Polly was bench sleeping Robotech, which I'm all about that.
Yes. That's another show to put Super on. Does
with Supernatural, I have done with Robotech. I've watched the Robotech series at least probably 50, 60 times. So
cheers on that, Polly. I'm getting that one.
And lastly, Nudie Rudy, have you been staying clothed while you've been geeking out?
Usually not, no. Geeking in the nude, you know, it's the right way to do it.
Once every 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. Toss on stitch of clothing every now and again.
I believe they're called bandanas.
Actually, I think it's a fig leaf.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Cover the junk. The rest is good.
The elephant cod piece.
The banana hammock.
So what are you actually geeking out on?
Now I have a visual of Nudie Rudy and the Sacha Baron Cohen, the green one piece.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Covering just the nips and right there. Oh, yeah.
It's all the important bits.
That means he's overdressing.
Ooh, must be a fancy occasion. Dressed up.
Bringing up Baron Cohen, I've seen Nudie Rudy reenact that wrestling scene a couple times. Okay, but beyond that, what have you actually been geeking out on? Ken. What have you been geeking out on?
Just finishing up Witcher 3 finally. Really enjoying that game. Loved it way more than I ever thought I would. Really good game. And as far as TV, I've actually been watching the new season of Nailed It. Just popped up. Love that show. It's hilarious. And today just caught a first episode of that Historical Roasts. Jeff Ross. Wasn't very impressed.
I saw the trailer for that. Is it pretty good? I mean,
No.
That was my fear.
Yeah. It was going to be one of those, okay, this is either going to be hilarious or real bad. And
if you watch the trailer, enough said, dude. I watched it and I was just like, yeah, I'm just gonna skip that one.
Figured I'd give it a spin.
And Polyfuse says he just finished Kingdom on Netflix.
He also said he's been like sleeping through a lot of stuff too. I don't know, man. You need to get a check, see if you're not sleeping well, dude.
At least he's sleeping. I mean, That's the thing. So, all right, let's get on to our next fun segment. This is WTUF. It is What the Upfront.
Upfronts.
Every single year, television networks come out with their presentations of new television shows, what they have going on for their next year of programming and selling and pitching why you should be watching their network. And that is what they call the TV upfront. So they do them in May of every year, and they just had theirs a couple weeks ago. So every year we have some fun with it. And I give everybody here on the cast the title of a new television show that's coming out in 2019 with no idea what the show's about. They just play a little bit of improv based off of the title and tell us what they think the show's about.
This is one of my favorite games. I wish TV upfronts were once a month. I love this.
Make sure we understand the game is done right. Nudie, C, and myself are going to come up with something that's going to be totally outrageous, and then Super can actually predict it. That's what she's going to do.
She's going to describe what the show actually is.
Exactly. She usually does. She usually does. But I'm going to start with a title that, if you get it right, what it's about, I will give you kudos, Super, because this title is interesting. The name of the show is, and each person can tell me what you think it's about, but the name of the show is Bob Hart's Abishola.
Oh, it's actually Bob Ross teaching painting in a Jewish seminary. Is that a thing?
Bob Hart's Abba what?
Abishola.
Abishola. Bob Hart's Abishola.
I like where you're going with that. I see that's
right. Happy little accents.
Anybody else have any thoughts on what the show's about?
Well, for some reason, I keep thinking Bob Newhart, but he's dead. Right? So it must be a ghost coming back and bringing it back.
A biography about him. Abishola, though.
I don't even know what that is.
Jewish seminary? Did he go through Hebrew school, Bob Newhart?
And I've successfully infected the rest of you. No.
You got any ideas, Nudie Rudy?
Show about ABBA, the band from Sweden, making a new show in L.A. Yeah. ABBA Show L.A. Yeah.
Compton, to be more specific, you know?
So who's Bob Hart? Is he their manager?
Four really white people. Yeah, Bob Hart is their new tour manager.
Turbo Comics says, guessing it's about a kebab stand in rural Georgia. Food in New York City.
Well, it does like kind of sound like food.
New York City.
Okay. Yeah, it's a shawarma. Okay, the show is former Mike and Molly star Billy Gardell reteams the Chuck Lorre for a comedy about a man who suffers a heart attack and unexpectedly falls for his cardiac nurse, played by Folaki Olowofoyeku. Lord Coco.
Please try to do that again. Please try to do that again.
What was that name again? I couldn't understand it.
I'm going to spell this out. No, I'm going to spell this out. Her first name, Folaki,
F-O-L-A-K-E.
Her last name, I'm not even going to try it a second time. The last name is Olowofoyeku. Hence why I could not pronounce it.
Olowokeyu?
Olowofoyeku?
Not even trying. You are definitely faking it, yeah.
Lorre co-created his Warner Brothers series with Eddie Gorodetsky and Al Higgins, veterans of past Lorre shows, and comedian Gina Yashir. So, Billy Gardell plays Bob, who hearts Folaki's character, Abishola.
His heart surgeon.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
That's really strange.
Sounds like a takeoff from that old chick flick, Return to Me.
Woohoo! Chuck Lorre is really good at making very popular television.
Yes, so he is. Okay, so this one.
Lowest common denominator television.
Not as much of a unique name, and I just want to see where your guys' minds go with this one.
Lawyer show.
The show is called The Unicorn.
Another singing competition? Really?
No.
Finding that mythical voice creature.
It's a spin-off of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Anybody else?
If it was on Disney Plus, it's a Disney Plus show for Deadpool.
No. a live version of the YouTube sensation Charlie the Unicorn.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait, Candy Mountain? Heck yeah, I'd pay to watch Candy Mountain.
Also combined with the Charlie Bit My Finger Kid, yeah.
It's under enjoy. Oh, my kidney.
What about you, Nudie? You got any guesses?
It's a show all based around a corn going to university. Unicorn. Yeah.
Nice.
Nebraska.
University. Cornhuskers.
Yes.
Bravo, sir. That was a fantastic joke.
Turbo Comics says, pretty sure it's a show that features Andy Dick as the sexual unicorn that the Jonas Brothers have been looking for.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
That's Candy Marathon right there.
Okay. I feel so sad that this show is not about any of these things. The show is a lone single camera show among CBS's new comedy centers on widower Wade, played by Walton Goggins, who I actually like a lot.
Oh, Walton Goggins is amazing.
And the friends who try to help him move on from the toughest year of his life, including being a single parent and reentering the dating world, where, to his shock, he's a hot commodity. Hence, the unicorn, the single father.
Yeah.
Hey, so how close was I, though? Because his name is Wade. Wade Wilson is Deadpool. I was close. I was close.
I guess.
Walton Goggins is one of my favorite actors of all time. Just the fact that he's in it means I will watch it.
Yeah. Okay. This one's right up your alley, Super. Might be able to get something. You might be able to get it dead on what it's about. The Baker and the Beauty.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right.
That was so Midwest of you. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Automatically the name sounds garbage, but it's literally about reconnecting an old love flame. He's like the dorky little guy growing up, and he grows up to be the baker, and he reconnects with someone from high school, and they end up falling in love. Something like that.
Okay, so now that she tried to do it as what the show actually could be about as much as possible, on the funny approach, what do you guys think it's about?
It's about a guy that's really good at making bread, but accidentally got turned into a horrendous beast.
Oh. anybody else?
Hansel and Gretel survived their scare from the grandma in the forest. Hansel comes back 20 years later and falls in love with her.
The Baker and the Beauty. Let's combine Disney movies and make it so that somebody tries this amazing cake and then falls asleep for 30 years.
Yeah, it's just the opening scene from Beauty and the Beast where she's walking down the street and the baker that tries to sell her bread. It's going to be a whole series about Belle and that one baker. No, okay. You got any ideas, Nudie?
Yeah, it's going to be like a reboot of Shallow Hal about a guy who gets baked all the time and sleeps with the ugliest girls he runs across.
Yes.
That's funny.
Okay. The drama tells the story of the unlikely romance between a blue-collar baker and an international superstar. Set in Miami, the Notting Hill-esque series is a co-production of ABC Studios and Universal TV.
I'm just a baker standing in front of a girl with a cake, asking her to love him.
This is why we have fun with this show. All right. I got two more for you.
Emma Watson falls in love with Ratatouille. Good job.
I do like Turbo Comics' idea of what The Baker and the Beauty is. It's the Great British Baking Show with Artie Lang. although I don't think he'd be the beauty.
Where's the beauty?
Yeah. It's
the baker and the dime bag of Coke. Ugh.
This one is actually, for all things nerd, this is actually one that screams to this show. The name of the show is Stump Town.
Ooh, it's about Special Olympics athletes with amputations.
No. It's the Dexter sequel. His life is a lumberjack.
Oh. He's not killing anymore. He's just taking off feet.
Yeah. I might be going somewhere with this, but it's a spinoff of Game of Thrones. Tyrion Lannister goes off and finds his own community and kind of raises his own little farm out there and stuff, and you know they match up with Middle Earth and the hobbits come around. It's a whole thing. The Ewoks come in later on.
Little stumpy characters.
The Ewoks come in. It's all good.
Turbo Comics says it's about Portland.
Also, the Keebler elves are there. Yes.
Burnside Bridge.
The Keebler elves are on the baking show. Come on, get it straight, dude.
Oh, I like Ruru2's answer. It's a traveling quiz show going around small town America.
What about you?
Are You Smarter Than the Third Grader Real Life Edition?
That's pretty much exactly what I was going to go for, a quiz show where you got to Stump the host, who's totally just geeked out on Stumptown Coffee Roasters coffee the whole time.
It's a highly caffeinated Win Ben Stein's money.
Yep.
And please, guys, come to the chat room in terms of the live feed and watch this, because there's things that I'm not going to mention that are being fantastically said and hilarious. Polly has a great one.
I'm sorry.
Now,
I think that's called Stump Couch, actually.
What the show is actually about, and this is why I said it's right down the lane of all things nerd, it is based on the Stumptown graphic novels by Greg Rucka, so a comic book. A great comic book writer. This private eye drama from ABC Studios was a frontrunner ABC throughout pilot season. It also stars Avengers actress Cobie Smulders.
Nice.
Who plays Dex Prarios, an army veteran with a complicated love life, a gambling debt, and a brother to take care of who works as a PI in Portland, Oregon. Jason Richman adapted the Greg Rucka comics. So I'll check it out. I'll actually check this one out.
Yeah.
I love well-written, character-driven detective series.
Greg Rucka is a great – I love his comics and especially his smaller titles. So
okay, so now if it's based in Portland, if at least 7 of the 10 episodes are not raining, it's not true.
Also, you need Kyle MacLachlan as the mayor.
Last title that we're going to go. There's a lot more titles we can do, but we're not going to do a whole show on titles. Last title, Council of Dads.
Oh, it's small town Handmaid's Tale.
Is this like that thing from How I Met Your Mother when they had the council of the different Barneys where they all figured out where their hunting grounds for, you know, picking up girls was? Is that what the Council of Dads is?
Okay, I want to see a group of like 13 different Red Foremans establishing the rules for when you can make a grill.
Okay, so hold on a sec. How many years has it been since Lord of the Rings came out in movies?
Oh, God. I'm
15.
Because I'm thinking what this show is about. It's a show about dads, single dads, who became parents while they were watching Lord of the Rings and their adventures through life, and now they're passing it on to their kid.
Is there a high mortality rate at a particular show?
Ruru 2 says in the chat room, Simpsons Stonecutters spinoff. You got anything, Nudie?
I'm gonna go with someone's baked. Bunch of guys who sit around love to drink dad's root beer. Yeah.
Baked.
I'm picturing a lot of guys in cargo shorts and New Balance sneakers with high socks.
Looking through old Navy ads.
It's like the PC version of No Ma'am is what it sounds like.
And what it's sponsored by that jacket that has the 800 pockets in it, the dad vest or whatever it's called.
Okay.
You have the one rebel who wears a cargo kilt.
Here's what the show is really about.
That would be Lucky. We all know him.
Here's what the show is really about. In the vein of This Is Us, this drama from former Grey's Anatomy showrunners Tony Filon and Joan Rader centers on Scott, played by Tom Everett Scott, a father of 4 diagnosed with cancer. He assembles his closest allies to be backup dads for his family. Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for shiting all over that episode. Thanks, guys. Hey, that was the show. Yeah. We're all a-holes for making fun of that one. Thanks.
That should have been like a That 70s Show type comedy with a bunch of old dudes sitting around the weed table and the camera spinning. Instead, it's cancer and please take care of my family. Oh.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
You know what Turbo Comics actually brings up? So it's like 3 men and a baby with cancer?
That's just
the show's officially going downstairs at this point.
But that's
I like Tom Everett Scott.
The point of this game is that when you make a title for a show, what are you expecting people to think it's about? And that's where you sometimes pick your titles because you never know where it could go. So
know where we're all going now. Shoot.
Well, no, hey, if you don't know what the show's about, you can't be, there's nothing wrong with that. You're not. So
the working title was Cancer Town.
Yeah, exactly. So
Later on the show debuts, we're going to be talking about this episode. Remember that time we made fun of that show?
Yeah, it's going to turn out to be an amazing show.
Because of it, it's This Is Us centric, and it's done by Grey's Anatomy showrunners, it could end up being one of those shows where people are like, oh my God, this show is amazing. So,
I love Tom Everett Scott. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
The show wasn't great enough to win that freaking poll that I put out when I picked This Is Us. What the heck?
Not that great. Because too many people were crying to vote.
So. To be fair, I don't think I'd watched it yet at that point.
This Is Us is a great show, though. But yeah.
That's, so good.
That's some of the shows that are coming to your television this fall. And that's some of the ideas that we had based off of their titles. If you have a thought of what the show's about, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to drop a comment on what the titles make you think the show's about. Or hit us up on Twitter at All Nerd Podcast or at Malice Corp and drop hashtag WTUF and tell us what you think the show's about. So let's...
Needs more Steve Guttenberg and Tom Selleck. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's get into the main portion of the show, the nerd news. Okay, all right. So our first nerd news topic, we talked about this a few months back when it first broke. And that was that they're, you know, in the wake of what was going to be the end of Game of Thrones, all these series that are coming out fantasy relevant to try and pick up the slack that would be left from Game of Thrones being off the air. And one of those series was Amazon was making a Wheel of Time television series. And we talked about how intricate detail the writing is and how many words and what it would need to be cut down to and how to do it properly. Well, there's been an update from Brandon Sanderson, who finished the Wheel of Time for Robert Jordan after he passed away. And he actually talked about how they are approaching this. And I just wanted to get kind of your guys' thoughts on some of the things he said. He said the creatives went with some unexpected decisions, which is not always a good thing that you want to hear from somebody that helped write the book.
About the pronunciation of Nynaeve or whatever.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah, I think that's one of them. He said, I found the mass majority of these decisions to be excellent choices, things that will give the show its own soul, still in line with the feel and tone of the books. I can't say for certain, but my instincts say the fan base will in general respond to them positively. There are a few I offered suggestions on, and we'll see. I can't say too much, not just because of NDAs, but also because the show is very much still in flux. As showrunner and executive producer Rolf Jenkins makes decisions on how he wants things to go, as the alterations go, I'd say they fall in line with positive changes made in bringing Lord of the Rings to the big screen, things that were altered in order to make the films work for the medium. Overall, the thing I'm most impressed with is Rafe himself, who really seems to be guiding the show with a balance between love for the source material and his own creative vision. I'd much rather get this personally than something like the first two Harry Potter films, which felt like someone trying to bring the books to the screen with exact scene-by-scene recreations. I'm certain there will be polarizing decisions made by the team, but the changes are coming from a good place, and I really like most of them. And let me tell you, the first of the two scripts I read was sharp, excellent dialogue, nuanced characters, great pacing. The second of the two was in a rougher shape, so while still good, obviously was still undergoing revisions. Two key things there. He talks about how great he thinks that they're doing with it, but the main key one that I heard was he talked about how they adapted Lord of the Rings to the screen. They're doing kind of the same thing with this. Difference is Lord of the Rings was three films. This is a television series. And he says he doesn't want to see them do like Harry Potter did, where it was trying to do exact scene by scene recreation.
Exact faithful recreation. I think we talked about this when we talked about the show before. I think the general consensus was if they do it Lord of the Rings style, it's going to be good. You know,
it depends on how long go ahead.
You're absolutely right. But I mean, like we didn't need Tom Bombadil scenes in the movies. You know, that's a huge chunk of the book they cut out, and it worked out okay. The fact that he thinks that this showrunner has a strong vision and is balancing well the source material and his vision for it. I mean, Sanderson's never really let me down before, so I trust him.
Yeah, but do you think that with it being a television series, okay, a much longer scope than in the quite a bit more words, you know, in Wheel of Time versus Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely.
But a much longer scope, they can do more of that exact scene by scene recreation where do you think with a television series, they should have a lot of it out? I think.
No, I don't want a scene by scene.
You don't?
There's no, I mean, I think we talked about this last time we talked about the show as well. In the first book, there's a solid 100, 150 pages of Rand dragging his dad back into town after an attack by Trollocs.
It wasn't 100.
Well, I mean,
it was long.
They can minimize those down, but I'm not saying scene by scene with each word being represented, but like, I don't want them, like, Harry Potter went scene by scene, but it left out the entire dragon story, which was a huge part of the books. And I want other thoughts from other people too. Sorry.
You're fine. You got me started though on Harry Potter, because if this is what they need to not do, if they want to condense down and not necessarily edit stuff out, but just condense it down to where it flows naturally through a TV show, perfect. Don't add anything. You want to piss your fans off? Do what Harry Potter did and add a chase scene through Hogwarts in the Goblet of Fire where he's fleeing from a dragon trapped on a roof. Like, none of that was in the books. None of that needed to be in the movie. The whole point of his Goblet of Fire thing was that he was the only person to get through without injuring himself and without doing anything wrong. So you add in this epic thing because you think you need it to be more epic, and it's like, no, so don't do that. Don't be like Harry Potter in that regard.
Okay, on the same approach, another series that was adapted and changed for the
Sword of Truth. Medium,
not Sword of Truth, but adapted and changed for the film medium because it wouldn't have flow as well as the books did, and the book did, and there was people that read the book first that hated the film adaption was Ready Player One. And that was just, hey, we made these changes because that's the way it works for film. That's a little bit scary when it comes to Wheel of Time. You don't want them to adapt it just because, oh, it's good for TV, but then it kills the entire, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, if Sanderson is happy with the way they're doing it, the man has never let me down. I trust him. If he thinks it's good, I'm probably going to be on board. I mean, I'm going to watch it regardless, obviously.
Yeah. Jack Malice joins us in the chat room and yells Sanderson. What do you think? Nudie, based off of the comments.
Personally, I do think they need to stay faithful to the source material. You know, like Game of Thrones was an excellent adaptation. Video is a different medium than books, so I definitely think we do need to give them some license to adapt it in a way that makes it enjoyable and entertainable for, you know, a larger audience. But, you know, hey, at least Sanderson finished up the books for Jordan, so we're not going to have the same last couple seasons of pure dreck that we did with Game of Thrones. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to see what they do. And I think, yeah, let's give them the room to do what they need to do. And like, yeah, if Sanderson likes it, I think that's a great point. Like, I like how it seems he's being very frank with us in his pieces he's talking about, you know, saying, hey, you know, that second script was pretty crap, but hopefully it'll be better, you know, and this kind of stuff, you know. I like how upfront he's being, and if he likes it, you know, he knows the material better than most anybody. So, you know, let's.
Do you guys? I know what you're saying. I see. It sounds like he relatively says he likes everything, but do you almost feel like he's playing both sides of the argument with how he's saying stuff? Like this isn't. I'm certain there will be polarizing decisions made by the team, but the changes are coming from a good place, and I really like most of them. It's like,
yeah. I can see that. I can see where he's looking at, like, well, you had to change that thing to make it work for TV, and people are not going to be happy about that. But exactly. Trust me, it's going to be okay.
He's preemptively warning the fan base, like, look, there will be different things in there. Buckle up, put your big boy pants on, understand it's coming, and roll with it because it's still going to be good. Because you can't perfectly ever take a book and make it into a movie scene by scene. It's just logically, it's never going to happen. So suck it up and deal with it.
The only way that I would be actively pissed is if they erase an entire character. You know, you need all three of the boys. You need Matt, Perrin, Rand. You need all three of the girls. You need Egwene, Nynaeve, and Elaine. If they got rid of one character, that would be polarizing, and I would lose my shit. Yeah.
Well, you can't.
Yeah, they took characters and combined them into one, like Walking Dead does with stuff, and like,
yeah.
No, you can't do that. You
gotta. I just short of that, I'll be okay.
What was that, Sonic?
I was about to say, I just hope people understand that. Unfortunately, when you have such great books, 99% of the time they don't translate to movies because of the fact that
either that.
but that's my point. You need to realize they don't translate to books because of the fact that either writing style or language or just the sheer ability to be able to pull something off and make it look believable. Like, because they're going to have
the amount of exposition that isn't dialogue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just one of those things where they just have to understand if the person who's writing it is backing it up and saying, hey, these changes for the most part are good, go with that. I mean, perfectly, just go with it. Just understand it. It's not going to be word for word because you can't, because we know with this itself, it can't be word for word or scene for scene, because that's going to be like 25 years.
Oh, yeah. He's
20 episodes. So
by Turbo Comics said it would be 148 seasons long if it was scene by scene. Which
and if it's on Netflix, it's only gonna be 3 seasons. So I mean, you gotta figure it out.
they don't do anything longer than 3 seasons.
But that's what you were bringing up. Like if the writer says it's good, go with it. But that's even what Sanderson brings up, is that he offered a few suggestions on it, and we'll see. Like it was like I said that, hey, you should go this way, but they weren't like, oh, that's a good idea. They were like, okay, cool. It sounded like that, like one ear out the other type of thing.
And, Roger that.
Kind of like the beginning of Austin Powers 3 when he's like, well, I've got some ideas. And then Steven Spielberg holds up the Oscar roll. This guy says.
a couple things in the chat room. Ruba 2 says, in terms of Sanderson's comments, the producer gave me a truckload of cash. I'm just going to say this show is great and not my fault if it's bad. I don't think Sanderson did that. He doesn't seem the type to do that. Polyfew says, may Amazon shoot their wad on this project and fail miserably. I fart in the general direction, which I really hope it doesn't fail miserably. And then Turbo Comics says, I think that the Goblet of Fire scene needs to be in Wheel of Time. It would significantly improve the narrative. That'd be interesting. But
or take that and put it on the never-ending story.
And Polly says, it won't matter. Go ahead.
Ruru 2 says, add a woke female protagonist. The internet loves that. Dude, the book is full of them already.
Yeah, it is. Polyfew says, it won't matter what you do, making a movie or a series from the books, you will always have the Knights of Nie throwing their 2 cents into it. That's very true. So,
we are no longer the Knights who say Nie. We are now the Knights who say Ikki-Ikki-Ikki-Nie-Gwamp-Tang.
And Rude 2 also brings up that Orange is the New Black is on season 6 and it's ending, and that was one of their very first shows to do it, and their newer shows haven't gone beyond 3 seasons, so I'd still like to see a series do it, but they've gotten into a new kind of schedule where usually it's 3 seasons and then they're moving on to something else.
And House of Cards should have folded after 5.
So I mean, that's we got this a year ago that this announcement was being made that they were doing this series. Now this is the latest news we've gotten, is that, hey, they're still working on the script. So, I mean, I like that Sanderson is attached, that they're actually, he's not writing them, but they're talking with him on it and stuff. So, that does give me more and more hope for it. So, but yeah, we just wanted to talk about that update. Do you guys have any other thoughts on that?
I'm just looking forward to it. I hope
it's better than Legend of the Seeker.
It's gotta be better than Legend of the Seeker.
Everything is better than Legend of the Seeker, except for the Bridget Regan part. She was right.
I would watch the Legend of the Seeker TV show before I ever watch Aragorn the movie again.
Man, I'll tell you one thing, though. If Bran becomes king again, I'm going to be pissed.
And Jack does bring up that Sanderson has way too much integrity, and he does. So, onto our next nerd news topic. Stan Lee. Stan Lee's final project was released, what it was going to be. It's not his cameos in Marvel, not a comic book coming out. It is a cartoon that is called Superhero Kindergarten, and the pictures of it give me a very much a Magic School Bus vibe, but it's got Arnold Schwarzenegger attached to it. His production company is helping get it made, and it's for kids, but it inspires kids to be mighty.
You know, that Titanic bastion of children's entertainment, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The animated comedy action adventure series will feature the voice of Arnold in the lead roles as Arnold Armstrong. So I think he's like the teacher or the principal. And Deadpool comic book writer Fabian Nicieza will script the episode. So I love that attachment to it.
That gives me hope. Yes.
What will be particularly unique about this series, says Andy Hayward, Genius Brands chairman and CEO. Genius Brands is the company ran by Arnold, is that there will be an animated cameo Stan Lee appearing in every episode. And that's where I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this, because with him cameoing in it, how do we want to see him? Do we want to see it just like a Alfred Hitchcock walking around cartoon version of him? Do we want to hear any voice from him? If we do hear a voice, do we want
to? It's got to be similar to the MCU movies, right? Where he's just once an episode, he pops in randomly to be like, "Ah, you kids with your things, whatever."
Yeah,
Excalibur.
We're getting crotchety Stan Lee. I don't want to see that. I don't want crotchety Stan Lee.
get off my lawn.
Excelsior.
I'm surprised nobody's giving me crap for having said Excalibur accidentally.
Oh god. Yeah. And that's what I mean is, do you want, if he does say something, do you want it to be old audio clips of Stan Lee, so it's actually Stan Lee saying something, like just the lines that he said from Mallrats just cut into the or
yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Jack Miles says he should be the school janitor, which I think is something that Nudie Rudy brought up. So
just solving complex math equations in the background.
Who would you guys? Okay, one. So yes, we want old audio, or no, we don't want him to say anything at all. Just a drawing of him.
Old audio. I'm leaning towards old audio.
I'd like audio.
I'd go for impersonator.
You would go for the impersonation, okay.
Make it fit for the episode. Crack it up the old stuff, you know.
You know, you could totally crack out the old 70s Spider-Man, 80s Spider-Man, and get some really good lines out of that. Stan Lee, I think you can get it. Yeah, that's where you can get away with it, because most of the kids won't. We'll remember those lines potentially, just because if they don't edit the music out of the background. But you know, there's a lot of stuff you could pull out of from Stan Lee and not have someone do a voice impersonation. It's just not the same with a voice impersonator.
I mean, outside of that, I'm glad to see Arnold go back to his kindergarten cop character.
Yeah. Basically, what everybody's saying.
It is a tumor. It gives me my superpowers.
Turbo says no more Stan Lee ever. Just let him go. Jack says he should be giving out sage advice as the which we'd have to get somebody to voice him. What character would you guys like to see? Would you like to see him as a janitor or another teacher? Or
I mean, I think I was kind of picturing him as a janitor already. Just that kind of character that kind of wanders.
I want him to just to be that guy that sits on a rock looking at everyone that nobody ever knows why he's there, but yet he's always just sitting on a rock.
He's the guy on the couch.
like Homeless Joe in Teen Titans?
Kind of a little bit, but maybe a little less creepy.
I like Turbo Comics' idea of, if they're going to start doing that with Stan Lee, let's start having CGI Jack Kirby as well, a cartoon Jack Kirby as well. Make Stan Lee the janitor and Jack Kirby the principal.
Principal.
No, I was gonna say like on even terms type of thing. Like, so he's the where you get your food.
Lunch lady.
The cafeteria guy. Yeah.
I don't just see him with a hairnet.
Hey, if we're gonna go that far with the CGI, we might as well do Comic-Con every year and do like a holographic Stan Lee. How about that? Holographic,
just dancing with Tupac.
Yeah, he just
wants to see a senile Stan Lee just walking around and talking nonsense. So,
and I'm picturing the old guy from the movie Waiting.
Turbo says Jack Kirby would be the superintendent. but yeah, I mean, it's an interesting posthumous way that they're going to keep him going and keep teaching young people about it, because it's a cartoon that's meant, I mean, the way that they're explaining it, of course people are older than that, but they said it's going to teach kindergartners and preschoolers a new group of superheroes to give them valuable lessons. So
boys have pants, girls have vaginas. Just saying.
Having them in there, giving like a message of positivity and self-acceptance and stuff. Absolutely. Good way to go. Just don't overdo it.
Eat your Wheaties, kids.
Are you eating?
Welcome, lunches? True believers.
Stop it.
Who would eat 30 bag lunches?
On the front of why they're doing these cameos, Hayward, what he said about Lee, just as millions of fans look forward to seeing him appear in each Marvel film, they will look forward to his presence in each episode of this cartoon. The strong positive message of the series regarding health, exercise, and nutrition coming from the credibility of Arnold Schwarzenegger will make it a series that parents will enjoy alongside their children. So,
yeah, that's what I want from my comics. Real strong messages on health and nutrition.
Well, it's a cartoon. It's not a comic.
Okay, yes. I used the wrong word, but yeah.
And eat your fruits and vegetables and take your anabolics on with this.
And that, yeah. Okay, so there's another thing. Okay, so how would you like to see Stan? Would you like to see it prominent there's Stan Lee's character? Or do you want it to be like a Where's Waldo type of thing where you got to kind of keep an eye out to find out where he pops up?
A mixture of the two.
I think that would be interesting, would be to just see, like, so.
Yeah, he's just standing in a crowd somewhere during one of the scenes.
And since when was Arnold Schwarzenegger a font of, like, you know, credibility?
Well, I mean, he's always talked to kids Bush in school about health and exercise.
Yeah,
and
no, he was actually the
chairman of the President's Council on Fitness.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I think it's an interesting way to keep it going, but I don't want them to, you know, go too far with it. And I think
it's got to be like, you know, one episode he gives a line or three to characters about something that they're going through, and some episodes you just see him, like, you know, cleaning up the puke in the corner.
Okay. I just hope they don't like kind of glum it on that. I hope they don't go too far. I mean, there's a point where you want to pay homage to the creator of what a lot of people consider the modern day comic book or modern day superhero media, whatever you want to base it off of. But at the same time, you know, kind of like what they said in the chat room, he's passed away. He's dead. Pay homage, but don't drag it. Don't just make it a freaking cash cow of some type. You don't need that. Be respectful. I hope that's what they do. They be respectful.
Don't exploit his memory. Yeah.
So you don't want Arnold Schwarzenegger just dragging Stanley's corpse all around every episode?
Weekend at Bernie style.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you do not eat right. You get skinny.
He didn't get to the chopper.
You get skinny. Lightweight. You don't want this.
Yeah. And Polyfew says, oh, you know they'll milk the Stanley. And I really hope they don't. So. Okay.
That's
our last thing.
Unfortunate visual.
No milking corpses. This is a kid's show.
Our last little thing to talk about, and it was because it was the first time ever that it happened, and it was the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Scripps?
Scripps. Oh, I said sure Scripps.
Yeah.
I'm reading it in front of me. I can see
you edited it.
Yeah. It was the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Happens every year. Big thing. The prize is $50,000, and it essentially sets up a college for the kids that end up winning it. And it's so stressful that you've seen many times the kids up there trying to spell a word, fainting from the pressure. So it's a major thing.
In their minds.
What ended up happening this time around was they went 20 rounds, they ran out of words, and these kids were so good at spelling the words that 8 of them got to the point where they ran out of words. And the really cool thing with this was they didn't make them split the $50,000 prize. Each one of the children is getting $50,000, and each is getting an award. So they'll all be able to put it down to help them go.
So there won't be another spelling bee for another 8 years.
Well, I'm glad they didn't split it, because $50,000 is enough, but $6,200 definitely wouldn't get your foot in the door.
Yeah. At a time, didn't you?
Ah, the wonders of a smartphone and a calculator on it. And that is cool, though. I'm glad they did that. That's where each kid got $50,000. That's awesome. I mean, you are correct. Being that I'm kind of back into this whole fray of spelling and stuff like that, to have that many kids get it that right after how many rounds, amazing. Really amazing.
Well, yeah, it was 20 rounds in all, but they spelled their final 47 words correctly. All eight of the last ones. What was said during it was, "Champion spellers, we are now in uncharted territory," was what the pronouncer Jacques Bailey told them in announcing the decision to allow up to eight winners. He says, "We do have plenty of words remaining on our list, but we will soon run out of words that will possibly challenge you, the most phenomenal collection of super spellers in the history of this competition."
Yeah, when you're getting down to words like where, yeah.
and they just weren't appearing to struggle is what they were saying. So he said that we're throwing the dictionary at you, and so far you are showing the dictionary who's boss. So it was quite interesting. So they've been dubbed the Octo Champs. And they range in from age of
14. Nadia Suleiman is adopting them.
Octomom's back in tomorrow.
But yeah, I mean, there's been some, like the Indian spelling bee said that they weren't tough enough, that there was harder words that they could have given these kids, that for their spelling bee there would never be just it would be just one winner. But I think it's cool. I really think it's cool that they let all these kids win together.
I think it's cool that those kids were all so good at spelling that they beat a championship. The organization was like, "We give up, man. You guys are too good."
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, how long did you really want to be there? It said they took them 6 hours just to go from to get a group of like 16 or something like that, where they get it from 50 to 16 to get it. 6 hours of listening to children spell.
They said that it didn't finish until the early AMs. Like,
yeah,
the last girls were like staggering up to the microphone sleepily, spelling it. Complex word properly, and then staggering back to her chair.
Some of the time lapse, I think some of the kids were starting to get a shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says the B's rules called for no more than three spellers to share the title. The possibility of four or more winners wasn't considered before Thursday. So it was Thursday, and like, ah, crap, these kids are gonna beat us. So
somebody call Tanya Harding.
But it's, yeah, you know, it's for college. It's for a good thing, and you should be able to shell out the money.
Somebody should go check to see if they all had earpieces and someone was giving them the words.
Was one of them Jason Bateman? Impossible.
No, one of them was not Jason Bateman. Okay. yeah, it says Turbo Sonic Comics says it would be like Thunderdome or Highlander, one to rule them all if they had to sit there.
It's Lord of the Rings.
And they should have made him go through it.
Eventually start giving them sharp implements.
Polyfuse says, "Now spell, my parents are going to steal my 50 grand.
Oh. Yeah. We hit the pool.
All right, I'm going to do a quick spin on this for you guys. I told you I was going to spin this story against you, and hopefully you guys aren't looking at this, because I wanted to have some fun with it. Since these are spellers, and they're amazing spellers, you guys thought I was going to throw words at you to have you spell, which I am technically going to, but they're not going to be the words you would think they're going to be. They're not going to be the words that these kids spelled. What the words I want you guys to spell, just to see if you can.
Shazam. S-H-A.
Wait.
No.
First, are you going to be able to pronounce them? Because that's the first thing.
If you can, I'm not going to be able to pronounce them, which is going to make it even more interesting for you guys.
Great.
Because I can't use them in a sentence. They have no meaning to them. But what
is it going
to
be? The names of the children?
The Octo Champs. So I'm going to go by the eight names and see if anybody can stick around for this eight name spelling bee of the Octo Champs name.
Can we just mute this and let you try to pronounce them? That's going to be the best part. Who cares about us trying to spell them? I'm going to start with IC
Zoro. He's the first one to all the way over to the
good.
So
we Sam Smith.
No, the first one is Rashik Gandhasari.
Rashik has got to be R-A-S-H-I-K. And then Gandhasari, I'm going with G-H-A-N-D-A-S-A-R-I.
That is unfortunately wrong. It's G-A-N-D-H-A-S-R-I.
I put the H in the wrong place. It's an Indian name. There's gonna be a random H in there somewhere.
I just want to see how fast we eliminate all you guys, but based off the names. Okay, next is Masonic Vader. Masonic, your name is Aaron Howard.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Okay, are we allowed to ask a question like they do?
Yeah, male or female?
Yes, male or female?
I don't know.
You should know by the spelling.
Is it Aaron?
Yeah, is it Aaron?
Female, female.
Okay, it's Erinhoward.
You are correct. Super. Oh, shit. Super. Your name is Saketh Sundar.
Saketh? You said? Sundar? Saketh
Sundar.
Okay, I'm going to...
Country of origin, please.
I don't know.
No. Duh. S-E-K-I-T-H... S-E-N-D-H-A-R.
No, it is S-A-K-E-T-H-S-U-N-D-A-R.
Okay.
Okay. Nudie Rudy. Sharithika Padai.
Wow. One more time.
Okay.
Sharithika Padai.
Pardai. S-H-E-R-E-T-H... E-E-K-A, Pardai?
Padai.
Padai. P-A-D-A-I.
You are all over the place. It's S-H-R-U-T-H-I-K-A-P-A-D-H-Y. All right, and back
to you. Sonic Vader is the winner. He's the winner.
You need a hard one too, Masonic. We got to see if you can get this.
Aaron Howard.
Saham Sakantankar.
All right.
You have to ask how much that costs. It's too much.
All right. S-A-H-U-M. And can you say the last name?
Sakantankar.
S-A-K-A-N-T-A-R?
No, it's S-O-H-U-M-S-U-K-H-A-T-A-N-K-R.
Still one.
Aaron Howard, dude. Still one.
Take it like it. First take. This is still
fantastic. No. It's still a fantastic achievement. The other three that were part of these winners, Abhijay Kadali, Christopher Serrero, and Rohan Raja. So awesome job, guys.
Kudos to them.
Congratulations. And yeah, thank you. As you can see, just by name spelling, our mousecasters would not be able to hold up. So they would not be able to hold up to you guys and how amazing you guys did. So that's it. That's our show for this week. That's the nerd news. That's the upfronts. And that's what everybody's been geeking out on. So with that, we like to always close out the show with where you can follow everybody. And thank you so much for being here live, for listening to the show, for subscribing, for dropping comments, and for joining us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast to interact about all things nerd, geek, and pop culture all the time. With that, let's talk about where you can follow everybody. IC Zorro, where can people follow you outside of this cast?
At IC Zorro on Instagram, Twitter, PlayStation Network.
Masonic Vader, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at the Spelling Bee Champion firstannual.com. Thank you very much. No, I'm just kidding. Masonic Vader on Twitter, Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation Network. Hashtag NXT25. Please give us your winners to the Malice Smack Talk guys. So definitely make sure you put us in on that as NXT25 is happening this weekend. Please put that in there for us.
What about you, Super? Where can people follow you?
On Twitter at Super Ruby and Nut, and then on Instagram at Super Ruby and Freak. It's always fun.
She's a good follow.
I love talking to people on Twitter. Come talk to me.
Nudie Rudy on Instagram, on Twitter, and on PlayStation Network.
Not changing it up at all, huh? It's just really easy to find you.
Indeed.
It's spelled N-U-D-I-E. If you're listening to this, if you're watching it, you already see it pop up next to his head when he says that. If you guys want to follow this cast and all the stuff that we do in terms of all things nerd at Malice Corp, head over to www.malice-corp.com and you can check out all the different podcasts that we do. We do TV reactions. We do Smack Talk, which is wrestling. We do this, the All Things Nerd podcast. And a plethora of other things. Comics for All, which is a comic book podcast. We also have Nerd Mosh Pit, and there's so much stuff. So just go check it out and come see what we have going on over there at malice-corp.com. If you want to follow this main site, follow it on Twitter at Malice Corp. If you want to follow this podcast, follow it on Twitter at All Things, All Nerd Podcast. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp or Instagram at @mess5150. Once again, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming here. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And thank you for dropping comments and reviewing us. We appreciate all you do. With that, you keep nerding on, and we will see you next Friday.